Game day at my place is kind of a big deal. If I'm grilling, chilling, and watching hoops, my outdoor patio setup better be ready to play. That's where Wayfair wins. From patio seating and umbrellas to grills and grilling accessories, Wayfair's got it all, and it shows up fast. I'm talking championship level, fast and easy delivery. So level up your grill game and your outdoor chill game and head to Wayfair.com now to get your outdoor space ready for the season.
Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters. Love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. I'm Tom Kelly with you on this Sunday morning. Happy to be with you. A lot to get into throughout the course of the show. Obviously, thankfully, this past week is over for the Phillies. Maybe just taking everything into account in totality, quite possibly the worst week they've had all season. Some of the losses, just gut punches. Losing heartbreaker after heartbreaker this week. So, you know, a bad week for the Phillies. Hopefully they can now move on and turn the page. We'll get into that and the disappointing loss on Saturday a little later, blowing a 5-0 lead to the Toronto Blue Jays. We'll get into that. A ton of stuff to talk about throughout the course of the show. But where I want to start this morning is with the Eagles, because it has bothered me over the last few days the level of angst amongst the fans and people in the media and just in general over a few meaningless series, a few meaningless quarters of preseason football. And it confuses me a little bit as to, first of all, why we take so much stock of this, why we put so much, you know, why we pay so much attention to what happens in these meaningless preseason games. I don't understand it, because when I look at this team, I don't have any worries whatsoever, or at least, you know, obviously you have some worries, some concerns all the time going into a season. But what I'm saying is I don't feel any less confident as I sit here this morning than I did a week ago, than I did 2 weeks ago, than I did a month ago. Because the bottom line is, this is meaningless exhibition preseason football, and the results don't matter one bit. I'm kind of surprised that we haven't learned our lesson over time. You know, this panic over how the offenses looked, and they lost to the Browns, and they got blown out by the Patriots. It's been exaggerated to a ridiculous degree. It really has. Now, is it frustrating when you're, you know, looking forward to these games all week because you're such an addict for football that you want to watch the Eagles on the field and you want to watch good play? You want to see them perform well? Yeah, it's frustrating. I'm not going to tell you it's not. I mean, nobody wants to watch what we watched the other night in Cleveland. I mean, that was horrific. As a fan, as somebody who cares about this team, it was, you know, not entertaining in the least to watch that game and see what we saw out of the offense, out of the quarterback, out of the left tackle. I never want to see that. But while it's frustrating, the bottom line is these games mean absolutely nothing. And when we look back on the story of this season and we look back at the end of the year, regardless of what happens, we will not remember what happened against the Patriots in the preseason. We won't remember what happened against the Browns in the preseason because none of it matters. And we've been through this before. I take you back 3 years ago, almost to the day, August 29th, 2015. Eagles at Green Bay Packers, preseason game. Caesar knows what I'm talking about. Caesar Grimenzi, my producer. I see him starting to laugh. He knows exactly where I'm going with this. If you remember, former Eagles quarterback, always will live in our hearts, especially mine, you know, one of my favorite Eagles of all time, you know that, Sam Bradford, had one of the great games, I guess you can say, right? I mean, the game happened. One of the great games in quarterbacked in Eagles history, I guess. He had three touchdowns in like a quarter. One I remember was the Brent Celek. I remember this so vividly because I was at a wedding that night and I didn't watch the game, but I'm refreshing Twitter and people were going insane about this incredible Sam Bradford performance. And he is going to be unbelievable in this Chip Kelly offense. Let's give him a 5-year contract extension right now. We found our quarterback of the future. This is it. And that was when the hype for that team really, really took off.
Super Bowl.
Yeah, Super Bowl. Everybody's talking Super Bowl after that game. Do you remember that game, Caesar? You remember that?
God. He went like 14 of 15, something like just crazy stat line.
I think it was 14 of 15. I think 121 and three touchdowns.
Yeah, so like that throw to Sproles in the end zone.
Yes.
Like, oh my God.
One was the Celek, one was the Sproles, one was the Trey Burton. That's right.
Way over the top. Like obviously yes. Over the top.
Yes. But if you remember, people went nuts. People went nuts over the way Sam Bradford played in that game in Chip Kelly's offense. And, you know, people were talking Super Bowl. That team ended up going 7-9. It was a disaster of a season. Chip Kelly was fired. Sam Bradford was traded. And, you know, happily ever after for the Eagles organization. But it just goes to show these massive overreactions to preseason football, it doesn't matter. It doesn't mean anything. We don't even need to go back that far. And by the way, if you want to get in, 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494, pound 9494 on your AT&T and Verizon cell, if you would like to join the show. We don't even need to go back that far, though. We can go back, 8 months? 9 months? Whatever it was? To the end of the regular season. When, you know, Christmas night, Eagles-Raiders, Monday Night Football, Nick Foles was as bad as you could be that night. I remember walking out of my my now sister-in-law's house, and, you know, I'll admit it, I was dejected. I kind of thought the season was over. I'm like, Nick Foles, this guy can't get it done. Eagles don't have a shot to win in the playoffs with this guy. He was awful against the Raiders. He was awful in the first quarter next week against the Cowboys. And then you get in the playoffs, and I don't know, something switched. And we'll examine, you know, I do want to examine the career of Nick Foles throughout the course of the show because Ruben Frank was on with the morning show on Friday, and Ruben was totally right. When talking about Nick Foles, you look at his career, and you look at his numbers from year to year, game to game, his career literally makes no sense. It is the most insane, volatile career of any quarterback I've ever seen. Like, you have some guys like Sam Bradford are consistently bad. Nick Foles, I mean, he is the variance of performances from game to game is just incredible. And when you see that, though, it lets you know you can't put any stock into what you see from game to game. Nobody would have thought that game he played against the Raiders on Christmas night Yeah, a month later, he's gonna out-duel Tom Brady in the highest scoring Super Bowl of all time. There's no way you could have saw that coming. These results mean nothing. The Eagles were down their top three running backs, three of their top four receivers, their starting left tackle, a Hall of Famer, and oh yeah, their starting quarterback, who, by the way, I'll tell you right now, Carson Wentz is playing week one. I'll guarantee it. Carson Wentz will be out there week one. And that's why the whole thing about Nick Foles, you know, the conversation is really inconsequential unless something happens to Carson Wentz, because I believe, this is without any inside information or anything, but I believe Carson Wentz is playing week one. And there's nothing anybody can say that's going to convince me otherwise. When you look at the way this has been ramped up, the fact that he started training camp going 11-on-11 and all of a sudden got scaled back, well, that was because they saw bodies flying around, you know, near his legs. And they're like, okay, well, what's the need to do this now? There's no need to risk anything now. Let's dial it back. But look at when Carson Wentz is now ramped up to do 11-on-11s. It's no coincidence that he starts the practice in team drills right as they're implementing the Atlanta game plan. Because that is when the coaches, they're doing work on week one, right when they get the schedule. But they start to practice these week one game plans on the field, around this time of the preseason. Leading up to the third preseason game is when they start to really implement the game plan for week one. It's no coincidence that Carson Wentz started practicing as they're probably, you know, starting to practice specifically again for the Atlanta Falcons. And you can't convince me that Carson Wentz isn't playing week one, but it's just another reason why you can't put any stock, you can't put any place, any level of importance whatsoever in these preseason games. None. None. As I said, is it frustrating to watch? Hell yeah, it's frustrating to watch. Nobody wants to see what we saw from this team, especially on the offensive side of the football. But it doesn't matter at all. What happened on Thursday night in Cleveland is not going to mean a damn thing when the Eagles go on the field on September 6th and host the Atlanta Falcons. It's just not. I think people need to relax a little bit and stop panicking, because that what happened has no bearing. The result obviously doesn't matter, but the play on the field doesn't matter either. This team is experienced. This team has been there before. This team is filled with veteran players who know how to ramp it up when they need to ramp it up. This team will be just fine when they kick off in, 11 days. 11 days. This team will be fine. Nothing to worry about. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494. #9494. AT&T, Verizon, Cell. And real quick, before we hit the break, I want to, and Richard, we'll get to you first on the show, but watching that game the other night, some of what I see on social media, and it's funny because whenever this guy calls a game, but Joe Buck is a polarizing figure for some reason. I don't understand it, but I want to know what national broadcasters do you like out there? We all know about the local guys, you know, Merrill and you know, is a legend, and all the local guys. We talk about them all the time. But I want to know nationally, what broadcasters do you like best? It doesn't have to be the main guys. It doesn't need to be the most well-known. It can be any sport, you know, guys that call basketball games, football games, whatever. But what national broadcasters do you really like? Because for some reason, people despise Joe Buck. And I don't get it. I think he is the best in all of sports. I think he's funny. He has a sense of humor. I've heard interviews with him, you know, not on, not just televised interviews, but, you know, I hear he goes on with the guys on Barstool, the Pardon My Take guys all the time. He's hilarious on there. He's got a real self-deprecating sense of humor, and he's really good at calling games. And for some reason, I see the minute people figure out the Eagles are on Fox, oh, we got to stand, sit here and listen to Joe Buck for 3 hours. Why do you dislike Joe Buck? He's not biased, no matter, for some reason people think he's biased. I don't get it. I think he's great. I like Troy Aikman, too. I like that team. I think they're probably the best NFL broadcasting crew. I like the NBC crew. I like Al Michaels, but we all know about Collinsworth. I understand the dislike of Collinsworth. Collinsworth's annoying. And the Super Bowl, I still think it's hilarious that he thought that Zach Ertz's play should have been overturned. But what national broadcasters do you like? Because if you don't like Joe Buck, I don't know what you're looking for. So just led me to kind of question, what are people looking for in there? What national broadcasters out there, any sport, do you enjoy listening to call game? Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. I have to wear these hard contact lenses, and sometimes they like really hurt my eyes. So I'm dealing with that this past break. I was in there talking to Caesar, and then he probably thought I, you know, doing something weird, blinking my eyes constantly. But it's these hard contact lenses are such a pain. I hate these things.
Oh, you're having a flashback to like a Chip Kelly moment or something.
Yeah, no. I'm not in tears over anything. You know, I'm not sad or anything. I didn't just watch Sam Bradford throw a 3 yard out. These contacts bother me. So that's my little complaint for this segment. 888-729-9494. 888-729-9494, #9494 on your AT&T and Verizon cell. Talking about the Phillies, talking about the Eagles preseason struggles. Favorite national broadcasters off of me just enjoying whenever I get to hear Joe Buck do a game. Baseball, football, I think he's tremendous. So we got all that on the table if you want to jump on. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T Verizon. So also we're doing NFL predictions. I'm on this show, I'm on tomorrow morning. So this is my last time on before the season starts. So we're going to talk about, you know, NFL predictions for this year. If you have any predictions, divisions, who you think's going to be in the playoffs, could be a surprise. Love to hear from you on that. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T Verizon Cell. Robert in Connecticut. What's up, Robert?
Hi, how are you, Tom?
How's it going, man?
Good. First time calling your station. I'm streaming live on an updated phone now, and it's a pleasure to hear you guys. I listen to you, and I listen to the guys up in Boston, and I really envy you guys that live in a town with only one sports team in each sport, because that's how it should be.
Yeah.
Here in New York, it's way... I live in Connecticut, but I'm in New York. It's way too ugly. You're either a Jet or a Giant fan, and you can't be objective and so forth. But anyway, I was a Giants season ticket holder, and I am not an Eli Manning fan by any means. I agree with everything you have to say about him. And in fact, this guy you have on hold, I wish I could debate him, because you can bring up any point about Eli Manning, and I can shoot it down, because I've seen it, I've been there, I know what I see. He's an uninspiring quarterback. He's easy to root for, but hard to watch. When expectations are high, he goes low. And vice versa. If the Giants can find a way to back into the playoffs again and play on the road and be a heavy underdog, and there's no expectation to win, Eli Manning will pull through the roof like he always does. Otherwise, he's asleep at the wheel. He's a 500 quarterback. He's an athletic. The shorter the field, the more difficulty he has. If he did a long strike or nothing, he doesn't move the chains. They're boring to watch. I'm tired of it. He's got 2-0-5 starts. He's lost 13 games. He's never won 13 games. He averages close to two turnovers a game by himself between lost fumbles and interceptions. Am I still on or am I just babbling?
No, you're good. Robert, I'm enjoying this anti-Eli rant. I'm just taking it in.
All his positive things are compiled stats. That's all they are.
He's a compiler.
Just like Jeter is, and just like Carmelo Anthony and all the other heroes, so-called heroes we idolize in this town. It looks crazy. But it's a pleasure to listen to you guys.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate the call, Robert. Thanks, man.
You got it.
Yep. And, hey, there's a Giants fan who really doesn't like Eli. And, he's not a bad quarterback. He's just kind of, you know, just Eli. I don't really know how to explain it. All I know, and this is kind of what I mean and kind of what how I judge a guy like this, like competitors, guys that we play against, like our teams. Eli Manning is a guy who's played against the Eagles twice a year for close to 15 years now. I've never been fearful of Eli Manning, ever. Even in his prime, even when he's playing his best, I've never been afraid of Eli Manning. I've been afraid at times of playing a guy like Tony Romo. Tony Romo is more talented. Tony Romo could do more things. Eli, if you get pressure, you're going to beat him. Bottom line, like, he's had good stretches, no doubt, and you can't take those Super Bowls away. You can't. But I don't know. I just think he's overrated. I think in the grand scheme of things, Eli Manning is overrated as a quarterback. I've always felt that way, and my mind isn't going to change on that. It's not. I've said it before. I'll continue to say it. I just don't think he's as good as people make him out to be. I really don't. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T Verizon Cell. Adrian, what's up, Adrian?
You're going to put me on with that moron? Let me explain something to you. People fail to realize that Eli, how many top 10 wide receivers Eli played in that Super Bowl run? How many top 10 wide receivers he played with?
Top 10 he played with? I mean, he had Plaxico Burress. Plaxico Burress is a good receiver.
That's it.
Okay.
I'm constantly killing because they don't give him nothing to work with. When you give him something to work with, Eli's one of the top
receivers
in the league.
What receivers has Tom Brady played with? What receivers has Russell Wilson played with? I mean, their receivers are no better than Eli's.
But you got to understand, don't put Russell Wilson ain't in the same, you know. You gotta, we
Russell Wilson is Russell, 10 times, Adrian, Russell Wilson's 10 times better than Eli Manning.
Listen to me. We're talking about guys with multiple Super Bowl wins. We're talking about guys that quarter comebacks than anybody in the
league. You can say that all you. You really think Eli Manning's better quarterback than Russell Wilson?
This is what you got to understand. If you give him some players, he's good. He hasn't had a top 10 receiver since Beckham came.
He's had Beckham for 5 years. What are you talking about? Beckham's one of the top three receivers in football.
He ain't had Beckham for no 5 years. Come on, man, cut it out. Did Beckham play last year?
Yeah, that was his. Okay, last year was his fourth year. Last year was his fourth year.
It's all 5 years. Cut it out.
That was his last year. Last year was Beckham's fourth year, Adrian. He was drafted in 2014.
He didn't play last year. Come on, let's be for real.
Well, apparently neither did Eli.
Listen, he only played 3 years. You got to understand. Just like any quarterback, you say, if you put pressure on any quarterback, they go fold. You put pressure on Tom Brady. You seen that? We beat him twice. Did you understand the type of things that this kid, he has done for New York? Like, he's got two Super Bowl rings.
Okay, he's got two Super Bowl wins. One of them was won by the defensive line. I mean, what do you want me to tell you? You think Eli Manning is really one of the best quarterbacks to ever play football? You really believe that?
This is what I'm saying.
And do you believe that, Adrian? Because if you do, you're out of your mind.
Listen, let me explain this thing. Let me just say this to you. What I think is this. Under pressure, you put Eli in big games, Eli played good in big games. Now, you got to understand, we've been a bad team for an awfully long time. Like, our defense went away. He had no offense. He never had a running back. Never.
It's always somebody else's fault. A running back.
Listen to me. So them guys that you're talking about, like Russell Wilson had a running back.
Russell Wilson for years has had one of the worst offensive lines in football. He is that entire offense. He runs. Their offense is Russell Wilson run around and make a play. Russell Wilson does more with less than anybody in the league.
No. How many playoff wins did Russell Wilson have?
Playoff wins? He has a ton of playoff wins.
How many? Do you think he got more than 8?
He's one play away from winning his second Super Bowl.
Come on, man. Tom Brady is one play away from winning the sixth Super Bowl. So cut it out.
Tom Brady's the best quarterback of all time. I mean, Eli Manning is better than Russell Wilson, you're out of your mind. You are.
Eli beat him twice in the Super Bowl.
What's your argument? Eli's better than Tom Brady?
No, what I'm saying is Eli's a good quarterback. I mean, he's a good quarterback.
Yes, he's a good quarterback, but he's overrated. When you say he's this great quarterback who's one of the best in the history of the league, that is overrating him. He's not that good.
But look at the stats. The stats don't lie. He throws for 4,000 yards every single year. He only missed the snap because they took him out of the game. 14 straight years, he was under center.
He also turns the ball over a ton.
So do Brett Favre, but he's considered one of the greats. Come on, cut it out. Don't give me the... You put me on that moron, I'm a kill him, and you put together. Don't give me the...
You're not killing anybody, Adrian. You sound like a fool.
Hey, listen, he went to Lambo twice. He didn't just beat Aaron Rodgers. He beat Favre, too. He went in there and beat Favre, too.
Good for him. I mean, yeah, the defensive line was good against Favre. You know, good for him. They won an interception. They won that game on an interception.
Hey, listen, let me explain something to you. Eli, he was a key opponent in both of them Super Bowl runs. If you see some of the stuff he did, he had more fourth quarter comebacks than any quarterback in the game. He went in there and beat a team that was 18-0 to make history and stop.
Do you think Eli Manning's done? Do you think he's done?
Man, you crazy. He's
the fifth best quarterback in the division. He's the fifth best quarterback in the division right now.
Well, wait a minute. Who you giving him the first one? Carson Wentz?
Carson Wentz. You think Eli Manning's better than Carson Wentz? Is that what you're saying? Is that what you're saying? Adrian, answer the question.
Listen to me. What have Carson Wentz
Adrian, answer. What has Carson Wentz thought? He's going to be the MVP of the league last year. How many MVPs has Eli won?
Wait a minute.
How many MVPs does Eli want?
Listen, he got two Super Bowl MVPs.
Okay, do you think Eli's better than Carson Wentz right now, Adrian?
Hey, listen to me. Carson Wentz hasn't done anything. Don't nobody know what Carson Wentz is going to be.
Do you think Eli is better than Carson Wentz right now, yes or no?
Hey, Brett Favre is better than Carson Wentz right now.
What? Yeah, Brett Favre?
Foley. Axel Foley,
Adrian,
is better.
You're not making any sense, man. Foles? You think Nick Foles is better than Carson Wentz?
Yes.
Just because he wanted... Okay, so just our logic is going to be, a guy wins a Super Bowl, he's better than a guy who hasn't won a Super Bowl.
No, what I'm saying is when you look at the body of work...
You think Nick Foles' body of work is better than Carson Wentz' body of work? You're out of your mind.
Well, wait, you forgot about the year Foles was 27-2? 27 touchdowns and 2 interceptions? You forgot
Adrian,
about that?
Did
you forget about that?
I question whether you understand what you're watching when you watch football. If you think Carson Wentz is not as good as Nick Foles, you don't know what you're watching.
Hey, listen, Carson Wentz could have just been hot last year. He might not come back and be no. There might not be no.
Okay, we can deal in hypotheticals all we want, Adrian.
So what I'm saying,
Eli Manning is the fifth best quarterback in the division right now. Carson Wentz, Nick Foles, Dak Prescott, and Alex Smith are all better than Eli Manning right now.
And you add up all the Super Bowl wins, and Eli can double them.
Okay, how many wins did Eli have last year? Two? Right?
Playoff wins.
Right? How many wins did he have last year? How many wins did he have last year? Two. Okay, get out of here. Adrian, I can't deal with it anymore. I mean, that was some of the dumbest logic. And I like Adrian. He's a good call. I like going back and forth with him. That was a ridiculously nonsensical phone call. I couldn't deal with it anymore. I feel like my blood pressure is at an all-time high after that. Some of the statements that Adrian made there were just, okay, Nick Foles better than Carson Wentz. You don't know what you're talking about. Russell Wilson's not a good quarterback. Okay. Russell Wilson does more with less than anybody in the NFL. Their offense is literally, they've had the worst offensive line in football for the last 3 to 4 years. And their offense is, okay, Russell, run around, make a play. That's their offense. Russell Wilson does more with less than anybody in the league. Russell Wilson is a far better player than Eli Manning. That was absurd. And you're going to argue that Eli Manning is better than Carson Wentz right now? I mean, and I love the argument. Oh, Carson Wentz, he may have just had a good year. Maybe he's not that good. Okay. I mean, if you watch Carson Wentz play and you don't think he's the real deal, I don't know what, you're either biased or you don't know what you're watching. And there's really nothing else to be said about it. 888-729-9494, 888-729-9494, #9494 in your AT&T and Verizon cell. I need to settle down. I need to get a little drink of water and calm down after that call, because that was just absurd. 888-729-9494, #9494, AT&T, Verizon cell. If you want to get, hey, is Eli Manning better than Carson Wentz right now? That's what Adrian said, basically. Tom Kelly, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Talk a lot of Eagles. I want to introduce a topic here. For all you fantasy players out there, fantasy football players, obviously this is prime fantasy football draft season. I just had my fourth and final draft yesterday afternoon. I'm in way too many leagues this year. Four leagues is just absurd. I'm in two pretty serious leagues with my friends from high school that I've been in for years. And I got back in the WIP league this year. I dropped out for a couple years because I didn't like the way Turtle was commissioning the league. But Jack Fritz took over as commissioner now. He's a little better. So I'm back in the WIP league, and I got another league I'm in with, like, my cousins and stuff. So I'm in just an absurd amount of leagues. But yesterday was my draft for my really, like, ultra-serious league. Pretty hefty size buy-in, leave it at that. But I had the distinction this year, unfortunately, of being the last place finisher, the toilet bowl champion, as we call it. And I won the league the year before, but I had a fall from grace. I went from number one to last place. So I had to wear a shirt that said Beer Boy on it, and I suck at fantasy football, whatever. I had to go get everybody their beers during the draft. We do it at my friend's office. He really goes all out, does like videos and stuff. It's kind of nerdy, but it's fun. But what are your best, like, fantasy football punishments and prizes? Because we have in my other league, we have money, and my friend also from his work, he's like, oh, yeah, this year I have a bunch of points for Samsung, so I'm just going to throw in a 65-inch TV for whoever wins the league. It's like, okay, well, I really want to win this league now. I can use a 65-inch TV. So that was a pretty good one. But what are your best, like, punishments or prizes for fantasy football? I know some people go all out. They have to get tattoos and stuff. I would never do that. Never. Like, I would never be in a league where if you finish in last place, you got to get some kind of embarrassing tattoo or something like that. I would never do something like that. That's going too far. But what are your best fantasy football prizes and punishments as this is draft season? It kind of sad as you come toward the end of fantasy football drafts. You won't have any more drafts till next year. I was telling Phil during the break, Phil Casey, my producer, I can only do fantasy football. I can't do any of those other sports. It's just way too much. You got to set your lineup every day. I'll do fantasy football, set it once a week, check the waiver wire on Mondays, and that's pretty much it. But, yeah, fantasy football, your best punishments and prizes. 888-729-9494. #949 for AT&T Verizon Cell, talking about the Eagles, Doug Peterson, upset with the media consistently asking about Carson Wentz's status for week one. I don't really know what he expects. It's going to continue until they give us some sort of answer. I don't know if they know yet, but yeah, the media is going to keep asking, as they should. It's what everybody wants to know, and it's not going to go away. So you have any thoughts on that? And big topic throughout the course of the show, are you worried at all about the NFC East? I feel like we have just, in general, just assumed the Eagles are going to roll their way through this division with ease. But, you know, Dallas won 13 games a couple years ago. Washington, solid. The Giants have some good skill guys. So are there any teams in the division that concern you? And the fact nobody's repeated since Eagles didn't know 304 could be a little concerning. 888-729-9494. #949 on your AT&T and Verizon cell. And we're also talking about the Phillies and the fact that I don't want to be Mr. Negative. I don't want to be the Debbie Downer, but what I saw this last week to 10 days really concerned me. And I have serious doubts as to whether this team can bounce back and make the postseason. I think there are a lot of holes. I think there are holes in the lineup. There are obviously holes in the starting rotation when you look at the way Pivetta and Velasquez was good today, but he's been inconsistent. Pivetta, Velasquez, and Eflin, just a lot of inconsistency from those guys. And the bullpen struggled. When you look back now with the trade deadline, I kind of wonder here. I don't think it's on Gabe Kapler. You know, you can call me a Gabe Kapler apologist, whatever. I think Gabe Kapler's done a tremendous job. He's not going to win coach. He's not going to win manager of the year unless this team makes the postseason. But he deserves strong consideration. He's done a good job with not a ton of tools. And the more I look at it, the more I think, you know, Matt Klentak may have really failed him at the trade deadline. The fact that the big acquisition was Wilson Ramos. And Wilson Ramos, don't get me wrong, he has been good since coming over here when he's been on the field. But that's been few and far between. He hasn't been out there, you know, quite that much. And if this team is going to make a run, they need Wilson Ramos to play, what, 80% of the time? They need him playing four out of every five games. Two on, one off, two on, one off. That I mean, that's what they're going to need from Wilson Ramos if they are going to make the postseason, because they don't have enough punch in that lineup without him. Rhys Hoskins is too streaky. Odubel Herrera is too streaky. They need that consistency that Ramos can provide. And I totally understand wanting him to be healthy into September and October, but the Phillies need him now. I mean, the Phillies, you can't consistently have him not in the lineup. And, you know, it is a different injury he's dealing with now. He's dealing with the wrist thing. But the fact that, you know, Klentak dealt for a guy who was on the DL, it took him a couple weeks to come back. And just a catcher in general is not necessarily a guy you can play every day. You know, I don't know if there's maybe another route you could go. And when you couple that with the fact that Klentak really did not find a way to improve the deadline, improve the bullpen at the trade deadline. You know, he brought in Aaron Loop, who hasn't been very good. Luis Avilan, who we'll see. He was just added the other day on a waiver deal. We haven't seen a ton of him yet. We'll see. He's a situational lefty. Hopefully he can contribute something. And also with the fact that he decided not to go get Cole Hamels, which in retrospect looks like a horrible decision considering how well Cole Hamels has pitched in Chicago. I mean, Cole Hamels in five starts has been one of the best pitchers in baseball. Is there a guarantee that he would have came here and pitched the same way? No, but I have a feeling you'd think that coming back a place where he's comfortable in a postseason race, that Cole Hamels could have had some success and that he could have added a veteran presence and just a consistent arm where you don't have that with three or five starters right now, with Eflin, Velasquez, and Pivetta. I don't trust those guys. Cole Hamels would have been a real good addition. And the Cubs gave nothing up for him. They gave up a prospect not even in their top 30. Phillies could have had Cole Hamels for nothing. And, you know, hindsight is obviously 20/20, but when you look back, just, you know, 4 weeks ago, you start to think, you know, with this team really in the mix here to win the division, Matt Klentak, you know, certainly in my mind, didn't do all he could do for Gabe Kapler and this team to put them in the best possible position to win the NL East.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.